You are listening to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
It is rude not to acknowledge your friend's invitation to his party. But what about the invitation that the Lord Jesus Christ gives you to his kingdom? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. My text is recorded in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, the first 10 verses, and the theme for the sermon is, Please, don't cheat yourself. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this blessed word that you have given us today, that you invite us to your banquet, a place where we can live with you for all eternity, experiencing joy and peace, the forgiveness of sins and courage and strength. O Lord, we pray that through this parable, your word may find its way into our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our hearts and grant us a greater relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So those servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, Jesus Christ has been given many titles, some of them from the Word of God, and some have come from human beings. For example, I imagine the chief title would have to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is God, the God incarnate. He is the Savior who has suffered and died on a cross. He is the Redeemer, the one who has bought us back, in order that we might belong to God forever. He is the Lord. He is the one who wants to reign in your life and mine. He is the Master, who wants to guide and teach us along the way, and certainly he has called himself our friend. Now here's one not found in the Bible, but one he rightly deserves. Not equal, obviously, to any that I have already mentioned, but one that is important. Jesus is a storyteller. He far exceeds any other storyteller, including Longfellow and Hans Christian Andersen. No, they didn't hold a candle to Jesus when it came to telling a story. Here is one of those stories that serve as our text today. It's a parable of the wedding banquet. William Barclay, in his commentary, tells us that there was a custom among the Jewish people in Jesus' day that they would announce far ahead of a banquet that it was going to be. However, they would not give a specific date. But then as the banquet drew very, very close, suddenly one day they'd say, "Come tomorrow," or whenever it might be. "Come, now here's the specific date. We want you present." Well, that's what Jesus builds on in this parable that is ours today. This king was going to have a great wedding banquet for his son. And maybe this banquet invitation in general form had been sent out many, many a month before it actually happened. But now, according to the scriptures, everything was now ready. So as a result of that, they got the specific invitation. Come, come right away. And here in our text, it says that the people responded, and they responded in different ways. In verse 3 of our text, it says, they heard the invitation, they simply refused it, they didn't want to go. Another group paid no attention to it, they ignored it. They went on to work, some to their farms and others to their business. This caused the king to become enraged. And so he said to his servants, "You go out to the street corners and you invite anyone you see, both good and bad, to come, because we're going to fill that hall to capacity." And that's exactly what happened. For the Bible said the hall was full, and what a time they had. Now that's the little story of Jesus that serves as our text today. Does it have a broader message than just addressing the people of his day? It certainly does. Does it have a message for those of us who live in this blessed land of ours? It certainly does. While America is not the chosen people of God like Israel was, for there is no such nation, we are a people with millions of citizens who belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. Not all of them who have a church membership live in a personal relationship with God. But there are millions of people, too, who confess Jesus Christ and are in that living relationship with God because Jesus Christ is their Savior and their Redeemer. Does the church have a message to bring here through this story today? Yes, it does, friend. How is America responding to God's invitation to become a part of the kingdom? Well, it all depends on how you look at it, I guess. But if our newspapers are right, there could be some improvement. The numbers are decreasing among mainline Protestants, we are told. Oh, there may be some who are holding their own, but others are decreasing. The growth, if there be that, is in that part of the church where you have the evangelicals and the charismatics. Now, we may ask ourselves the question, what is happening in mainline Protestantism that we struggle so? Are we courageous enough to ask, why is this? But before we do, let's move this to the individual. Because America is only a combination of individuals who are gathered together. Each individual who hears God's word must deal with his invitation to come and be a part of the kingdom. God has prepared the banquet. That is the kingdom of God. The invitation comes to us. Are we hearing the invitation? Could it be that sometimes people have not responded because they have not heard it? Well, here is the invitation. You are a sinful person, but God loves you so much that he sent into this world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus' suffering and death at the cross of Calvary and by his glorious resurrection, he has atoned for our sins. And by grace, through faith in him, you can become a part of the kingdom of God. Now then, here is the invitation. Will you come? God is calling. Will you come? What is your response? Should we go back to the text for today? Is it possible that an individual hears this message, simply proclaim that Jesus has died for your sins, you can be a part of the kingdom of God, you can live in a relationship with God, if by grace through faith you will receive him as your Savior? And the individual may say, I don't know. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, but the individual himself must deal with the individual. Parents of families cannot deal with another person in the family's invitation. The parents may be ever so faithful in the Church of Jesus Christ, but they cannot talk for their children. They can lead them, they can instruct them, they can pray for them, but the child himself must eventually say, yes, Lord Jesus, you are mine. Occasionally, you'll take a look at a family in the church, and there sits mother and father. Their hair is gray. They once had their children, all five of them, sitting right beside them. In their homes, they had devotions. On Sunday morning, the children were not only in church, but they were in Sunday school. And now you look around and the children have grown. Are they anywhere to be found in the church? Oh, yes, there's one son, his wife, and their three children. But where are the others? Did they all move away? Are they in churches in some other communities? No, they all happen to live right around here. But four out of the five have said, we don't need the church right now. Or they may have a name on the book, but they're not in a living personal relationship with God. Father and mother can do nothing about that, except to pray. They can do nothing but keep their witness ever shining before them. But the final decision as to what is to be done with Jesus Christ has to come from the individual. Mary and Joe have decided or not decided to have a Christian home as their parents did. But Mary and Joe have to make that decision themselves. In other words, as somebody has said, God has a lot of children, but he has no grandchildren. Because the parents cannot take the final word and say, Christ, make them yours. It is within them the right to say no. Well, again, specifically now, back to how do we deal with this great parable? Is it possible that, as in the day of Jesus, that some simply refuse? We don't need that today. Maybe the person has become so very highly educated that he thinks, I don't need that kind of foolishness that is talked about in the church. Others of them may say, well, I don't take that drastic a stand, but no, not right now. Later, maybe. You see, we have the kids and they're growing up. Today, we work hard all week long and then we play hard all weekend. And there really isn't much time for God to fit in. Now, the text says that enraged the king. Is a faithful interpretation of that text that our refusal to receive his invitation to become a part of his kingdom still enraging God? I don't know, but I think so. Because I know the day of grace continues until we breathe our last. But in the meantime, after you have been given the invitation, the Word of God says, and that's the purpose of the parable today, that Jesus goes on to other people because he's going to have that kingdom filled. So I wonder if some of the blessings that Almighty God has been showering on America through all these years may begin to be passing to another continent even. Our missionaries return, and I've mentioned this often and you've heard it many times, that in Africa today there is supposedly a real spiritual awakening. And people are coming to the churches, they're walking there, it's taking 2 hours sometimes to get there, and then they have a 2-hour service, and then they have to walk home again. But they're hungering and they're thirsting after hearing the word of God. Has God moved over? Has he said, now I will turn to a continent who is ready to listen and to accept the invitation? Or take it from the standpoint of an individual. Not long ago, I walked into our church and here I met a young lady, not a young lady anymore, she's in her 40s, but I remember her as a young lady. And she was what we sometimes referred to as a holy terror. She didn't have a very good home background as far as the church was concerned. Her parents never went to church. She had come once in a while to Sunday school or even church services, but not much was going on, spiritually speaking, in her life. There was a young lady who did bring her occasionally. She came from a very, very faithful church family. Her father and mother were always there. Now she is among the missing. She doesn't even come to church. And I question probably, but that she has no relationship with God to speak of at all. The question then is, when I see this lady standing near my church, and suddenly she throws her arms around me and she said, oh, I am so happy to see you again, and went out into a conversation very long before she begins to verbally talk about her personal relationship with God. And I said to her, well, where do you live? Well, she told me where she lived, and she told me, I'm in the Lord's house every Sunday, thanking God for all the good things that have come to me. Here is a young lady who has come from a home where she was never exposed to the Word of God. Her father and mother could have cared less. But she is in God's kingdom. The other lady who had all of the exposure in the world is saying, apparently, even to the organized church, I don't have time for it right now. Is it possible that God is saying, okay, you refuse, you say not now, and so he moves on to another individual? I leave that with you to decide. Think it over in your own families. Think it over in your own circle of friends, your own neighborhood. Closing, stop and think of the fact that our Lord invited people to a banquet. A banquet is a happy time. Most banquets that I go to are kind of exciting and something you don't want to miss. Look at verse 4 of our text. The man said, my oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. It's going to be a great time. Come. You see, Jesus is inviting us to a banquet. To live with him, friend, is one of the joys of life. For in that banquet, the menu is great. It means joy and peace because our sins are forgiven through the merits of Christ. It means strength to face difficult times. It means that when I have to breathe my last breath and move from this world, then I have a home with God forever. All of that, that's a part of the banquet. That's a part of being in the kingdom of God, to have a Savior who wants to give us this, freely give it to us today. And so his word is saying, through this marvelous story told by the chief of storytellers, none other than Christ himself, don't cheat yourself. Don't cheat yourself out of enjoying Christ's banquet every day. All is now ready. Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection has prepared the way for you and for me. For you who may listen to me today, take it from the Word of God. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, invite him into your heart. For he first invited you to the banquet. And for those of us who trust him, enjoy that relationship with God. Enjoy that peace which passes all understanding, the forgiveness that he promises to us in the gospel. Rely upon his strength for your life. Enjoy every day that he gives you on this earth, remembering in the background there is a promise of an eternal home. Amen.
Life for a look at the Savior.
Father in heaven, help us to understand that living in your kingdom is really living at a banquet. We know that life is not always easy. We realize that we preach today to many who are sick and shut in. Times are hard. But God, we are surrounded with so many of these great blessings you have given to us. The promise that were yours. And though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death at times, you are with us. God, sustain us in that grace and faith, and grant that each day we may understand what a marvelous Savior we have in you, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As a nonprofit ministry, we are supported by gifts from our listeners. We thank each of you for your prayers and your generous offerings. October is calendar month for Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you a free 2003 calendar featuring nature scenes from national parks across the country with brilliant four-color photos. This calendar highlights an inspiring Bible verse each month. To receive your free calendar, call our toll-free number, 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We will need your name, mailing address, and the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number again is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.